Woo! What's going on, everybody? It's your host, Tyler Brown, and welcome back to another episode of The Sports Guru. And we're back at it again with another NFL recap, and we're going to talk about the NBA season. But first, let's talk about this NFL Week 5 that just passed. Crazy games going on, a lot of disappointments, a lot of choking going on for teams, and I have some questions for certain teams that lost, that shouldn't have lost, but we about to get right into it. So, first game that we have is the Thursday night game between the Colts and the Broncos. And what can I say? That game was hard to watch, horrible. It was just bad football, a lot of bad football going on in that game. So, Matt Ryan threw for 251 yards and 2 interceptions. Alex Pierce had 81 receiving yards. Wilson had 274 yards and 2 interceptions. And Sutton, Cortland Sutton, had 74 receiving yards. This was just despicable to watch from start to finish. I mean, both offense of teams couldn't do nothing but kick field goals. Like, it was hard to watch. Throws wasn't being made. Russ playing horrible per usual. And both quarterbacks, Wilson and Matt Ryan, both threw 2 picks. Like, the score going into regulation, after regulation, was 9-9. And if you was watching the game, you saw some fans leaving the game because they had enough. They saw enough. Broncos can't do nothing. They can't score in the red zone. They're struggling. Russ is playing bad. And the Colts pull out this game 12-9 in overtime of straight field goals. When Russ had KJ Hamler wide open when he had the ball, when he hit like a little slant route, and he was wide open, but he tried to throw to Cortland Sutton, force it, and I think it got battered away. So Broncos, I have a lot to be concerned about. Your quarterback's playing bad, and now news come out that he has a torn labrum in the shoulder. He's going to play through it, but it's no excuse to why he's playing bad. Making all this money, $245 million, $250 million, to be stinking like this. Straight robbery. Matt Ryan, I think his time is almost up. He's not the same Matt Ryan we know in Atlanta. His time is up. He's not playing well either. So, with Russ, all this Broncos country, let's ride. It got to stop because you're disappointing the fans. You got to step your game up. Step your game up. There was high expectations when you came to the Broncos. People thought, oh, y'all going to the Super Bowl. Y'all might win the division. Right now, the way y'all playing, y'all not going to win the division and not even going to make the playoffs. Especially if y'all keep struggling on offense and can't score in the red zone. It was just a mess. This Thursday night game was just a mess. This wasn't exciting. Like, I wasn't entertained at all. Moving on. Giants beat the Packers 27-22. Daniel Jones threw for 217 yards. Saquon Barkley rushed for 70 yards. And the TD, Slayton had 79 receiving yards. Aaron Rodgers threw for 22 yards, 2 TDs. Randall Cobb had 99 receiving yards. And Lazard had 35 receiving yards and a TD. Another game that I'm thinking Green Bay, you know, they're a better team. I'm thinking Aaron Rodgers is going to beat Aaron Rodgers. The Aaron Rodgers that I know, the elite Aaron Rodgers, one of the top, if not top 3 quarterbacks in the league, going to come out here and show out in London. Packers are in control halftime. They're up 20-10. Next thing I know, I see the Giants come back and score, and they take the lead. And then the Packers drive down the field and get to the goal line. And then Aaron Rodgers' passes get batted down, back-to-back downs, the game is over. Like, Aaron Rodgers choked. Was a no-show in the second half. Couldn't put up any points. Struggling. This was their game to win. It's nobody's fault but theirs and the defense. Because the defense couldn't get a stop. And the offense couldn't produce. No excuse for Aaron Rodgers. Like I say, he's a top-tier quarterback. There's no excuse at all. You have to do better. You have to close out games. Like I said, what I've noticed in these first 5 weeks, no lead is safe. You can be up 10. You can be up 14. You can be up 17. If your offense stalls and you keep going 3 and out Or if you turn the ball over on downs, the team often start picking up momentum, they start scoring, you will find yourself in a tight ball game and possibly losing. The team might come back and beat you. It's what I've learned in the first 12 weeks. No lead is safe. You have to play till the clock hits zero, no matter how big the lead is. So, we'll see if the Packers bounce back next week. That was disappointing. Chargers beat the Browns 30-28. Justin Herbert threw for 228 yards in the TD. Eckler had 173 rush yards in the TD. Also add to his stat line, 26 receiving yards in the TD. And Mike Williams had 134 receiving yards. Jacoby Brissett threw for 230 yards, a TD and a pick. Nick Chubb had 134 rushing yards, and two TDs. And Njoku had 88 receiving yards. Now, this was a good game. This game's going back and forth, as you know. You have Nick Chubb, who I think is the best running back in the league right now. He's been putting up almost 100 yards per game, if not close to it. Scoring two TDs, not surprising. Eckler had a day. But what I want to talk about is the 4th-and-1 the Chargers were situation. It's 4th-and-1, I think 4th-and-1. I think there's like a minute 15 left, minute 13 left, whatever the case may be. They decide to go for it. Instead of punting the ball to the Browns and make the Browns drive down the field, 80 yards, whatever the case may be, just to get a field goal. They go for it, don't get it. Give the Browns a short field. The Browns have a chance to win the game. Luckily, they missed a field goal in that 4th-and-1 decision and come back to bite them in the butt. That is a terrible decision. In that situation, you punt the ball, make the team drive 80 yards, 90 yards, wherever they start from, and make them beat you, make them earn their yards. So Chargers luckily got away with one. But, that was a hard-fought ball game, entertaining to watch. Now, moving on to my Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys, man? Cowboys beat the Rams 22-10. Cooper Rush had 102 passing yards. Pollard had 86 rushing yards in the TD. Stafford threw for 308 yards, a TD, and an interception. Cooper Kupp had 125 yards in the TD. Now, I liked our chances going into this game just because the Rams' offense isn't that impressive. They haven't been playing well. And their defense haven't been the greatest either because they've been giving up some points. So I like that chance as long as our defense, kept playing the way they're playing. And Cooper Rush just does enough. Don't got to do too much just to get us the lead and get where we need to be. We're going to win this game. We start off the game with a fumble recovery for a touchdown, strip sack, scoops and score. And then we also got a block punt. And it started off the gates fast, which was a good sign. Our defense was playing well. Michael Parsons had 2 sacks and had a strip sack at the end of the game to seal the deal. Rams, running game, non-existent. Passing game, like I said, Cooper Kupp, he got that one long play where Trayvon Diggs had to undercut the route. And he gambled and missed, and he took it to the house, and then they had a deep ball for like 54 yards to Atwell. But besides that, Rams offense couldn't do nothing. It was 16-10 at half, if I'm not mistaken. Because after Cooper Kupp had scored that touchdown and took the lead, we came right back on the field, and Pollard had the 57-yard run. So they scored 10 points in the first half and then scored the rest of the game. Cowboys defense is, I want to say, top 3 in the league. They give up 14 points a game. Still haven't let no team score over 20 points and only allow 1 touchdown in each game. Our passing game, Cooper Rush, he didn't really do nothing. He completed 10 passes the whole game. Our passing game was non-existent, but our running game was effective as Pollard had 86 yards and Zeke had 78 yards. We had 160 yards rushing as a team. So the ground game was working for us, because our pass game was terrible. But like I said with the Cowboys before, our offense have to put up points. Like I said, we have a drive. We get to the red zone, and either we either set it for a field goal or we end up getting a penalty that kills our drive. We have to take advantage and put up points where it matters. We're leaving a lot of points on the board. We could be scoring a lot more points. But like I said, we leave points on the board due to penalties and us kicking field goals. So our offense still It's still mediocre. It's not the greatest. But our defense is very elite and legit, and it's to be reckoned with. Moving on, Saints beat the Seahawks 39-32. Andy Dalton threw 487 yards and a TD. Taysom Hill had a day, 22 passing yards and threw a TD, 112 rushing yards and 3 TDs. Kamara had 103 yards rushing and 91 receiving yards. Geno Smith threw for 268 and 3 TDs. Kenneth Walker had 88 rushing yards and a TD. Lockett had 104 receiving yards, 2 TDs. Metcalf had 88 receiving yards and a TD. This was another game, shootout. Defense can't get a stop. I'm talking about they both going back and forth. One team scored, they scored. Like, there's no defense really being played. Hard-fought game, shootout. But the reason why the Saints won that game is because Taysom Hill was the difference maker. Had 4 total touchdowns. Kamara, you know, he had a good game. Almost had, you know, good game rushing, 103 yards, and almost had 100 receiving yards. But Taysom Hill is the definition, is the reason why they won this game. He put them on his back, and they pulled out the win. Geno Smith, he didn't play bad. Like I said, 3 TDs, didn't turn the ball over, played a clean game. Lockett had a solid game. These are the type of games. Seahawks could have won this game. They had control, but they blew it. So that's just a tough loss. You know, shootout, tough loss. And, you know, their defense is just horrible. But their offense can put up points, though. Moving on. The Bucs beat the Falcons 21-15. Brady threw for 351 in the TD. Fournette had 56 rushing yards in the TD and 83 receiving yards in the TD. Mike Evans had 81 receiving yards. Mariota threw for 147 yards and a touchdown. And Zacchaeus had 39 receiving yards in the TD. Yes, we're going to talk about this game because this game was very interesting and very controversial. First off, the Bucs had a, you know, started off quick. Jumped on the Falcons quick and had the early lead, control of the game. You're thinking, okay, the Bucs are just going to blow the Falcons out the water. But here come the Falcons, storming back, getting momentum, scoring a touchdown, getting stops, coming back, scoring again, 2-point conversion, they scored. And here goes the play of the game. Third down, Grady Jarrett gets a sack on Tom Brady, which would have been fourth down. Falcons get the ball back, and they get a chance to go down the field and score, possibly win the game, maybe, who knows, or they might give Tam another shot. Sacks Brady, and what did the refs call? Roughing the passer. Now, when you look at the play, Grady Jarrett wrapped Tom Brady by his waist, threw him down a little bit, and got back up. What is that? That is not a roughing the passer call. Tom Brady got sacked. You bailed the Bucs out, robbed the Falcons. That changed the whole game, and that a Bucs walk away with a win because of that bogus call. It's terrible. Like, it's like defenders, these pass rushers, can't sack the quarterback without getting a flag. Like, what can you do? The rule has to be changed. It has to be changed. Because you guys are protecting the offense more than you're protecting the defense. And on offense, O-lineman is holding more than, y'all call him more rough in the pass to call the holding. And O-lineman are holding almost every play. Micah Parsons getting held every play. Getting on call. And some of these other pass rushers too. But y'all worry about roughing the passer more than y'all call holding. Make it make sense. I don't like it. Terrible call. It called the Falcons the game. This rule needs to change immediately because I don't like it. I don't like it at all. It's terrible. It's ruining the game. It's like you can't tackle the quarterback now. It's like, come on now. Like, where's the balance? It's unfair. Moving on to the next game. Eagles beat the Cardinals 20-17. Jalen Hurts threw for 239 yards, had 61 rushing yards and 2 TDs. Dallas Goedert had 95 receiving yards. Devontae Smith had 87 receiving yards. Kyler Murray threw for 250 yards, a TD in the pick. Marquise Brown had 78 receiving yards and a TD. Now, this game, the Eagles started off 14-0. Jumped on the Cardinals early. But then after that, their offense started stalling. Cardinals start coming back, and they start gaining momentum. And it's tied ball game. Eagles take a field goal. Kyler Murray gets him down the field. 3rd and 1. You probably saying they could have ran a play, should have ran a play, but he spiked it. Got them in field goal range. And their kicker missed the field goal. There's not much more that Kyler can do. He got them. He did what he's supposed to do. Put his team in a position to tie the game. His kicker missed and lost in the game. He makes that field goal. We're going to overtime. He knows what happened. The Eagles still undefeated. They escaped this week. Barely, by the skin of their teeth. I understand a win's a win. You understand? 3 points, 2 points, 1 point. I understand a win is a win. But y'all got lucky this week. Hard for a game, though. Moving on. Ravens against the Bengals. Ravens beat the Bengals 19-17. Lamar threw for 174 yards, a TD, and an interception. Mark Andrews had 89 receiving yards and a TD. Joe Burrow had 217 yards, a TD, and an interception. Joe Mixon had 78 receiving yards. Hayden Hurst had 53 yards and a TD. Now, this was a pretty hard-fought game. It's like a lot of these games were. The Bengals really did a good job of containing Lamar. Like, he didn't really get off. He didn't really do too much. Only threw less than 200 yards. And he only had, like, 58 rushing yards. So, they did a pretty good job of shutting down Ravens' offense and containing Lamar, which is easier said than done. But, you know, Bengals, they were down. They were down 6. They drive down the field and score. They go up 17-16. Now, I'm going to give credit to the Ravens because came that last two-minute drive. 2 minutes left. You know, Lamar took control of the game. He, you know, had a few rushes. You know, was hitting Mark Andrews. Ravens got down the field. And once Justin Tucker came on the field, you know the game is over because he rarely misses. Like I said, the greatest kicker in football, arguably, can be the greatest kicker of all time. He comes out on the field, pack your bags, turn the game off. You know he's making it 99.9% of the time. Mr. Automatic. Kick the field goal. Ravens got the win. And like I said, it was a great drive. Last 2 minutes, you were thinking, you know, Bengals score. Like, uh-oh, here we go again with the Ravens. Fourth quarter, are they going to pull it out? They pulled it out, did what they needed to do to escape. And win the game. Monday Night Football. Man, oh man. This game is hilarious. Chiefs beat the Raiders 30-29. Patrick Mahomes threw for 292 yards, 4 TDs. Scantling had 90 receiving yards. McCole Hardman had 73 receiving yards. Travis Kelce had 25 receiving yards, 4 TDs. Derek Carr, 241 passing yards, 2 TDs. Josh Jacobs, 154 yards and a TD. Devontae Adams, 124 yards receiving and 2 TDs. Once again, the Raiders never fail to disappoint. The Raiders go up 17-0 early in the game. Early. And I'm thinking, wow, Raiders are really about to run the Chiefs out of their own building. But here go the Chiefs storm. They score. Get a field goal. And then here we go again with another rough in the pass, a terrible call. Chris Jones sacks Derek Carr, strips the ball, has the ball. It's a turnover. Braces his left arm from falling on him, and they call a rough in the passer. That is not a rough in the passer. That should have been a strip sack because he took the ball in his hand and recovered it, and it should have been a Chiefs ball. That led to the Raiders, with that call, rough and passer call, led them to getting 3 points that they shouldn't have had. So now it's 20-10 I have. But I have some serious questions for the Raiders and that defense. The Chiefs don't have Tyreek Hill anymore. We know that. So you know Travis Kelce is the guy. You have to double-team Kelce, especially in the red zone. What were y'all thinking in the red zone against Travis Kelce? After he scored twice, y'all should have made adjustments to double him. He is literally the best tight end in football. Without a doubt, no argument, that's not a debate. Why are you not doubling this man? Put two bodies on him at all time. Make somebody else beat you. Make Scantlin beat you. Hardman, Juju, anybody else but Kelce. Y'all let this man score 4 TDs, and he only had 25 receiving yards. Like, it's rare that we see Kelce with 25 receiving yards. He didn't have that many yards, but it was y'all letting him score. Y'all let one person beat you. One person! One! The Chiefs come back and win this game. Davante Adams and Renfro on that play, the last play. They crossed into each other. It was just a lot of confusion. Like, Raiders, what are y'all doing? Y'all are 1-4 for a reason, because y'all are terrible. Garbage! Garbage! Just terrible. Defense horrible. There's no way you should let that happen. There's no way. You are what your record says you are. And you play like it. That is inexcusable. You guys started off hot. I should have just kept your foot on the pedal. Y'all let Mahomes stick around. And he comes back to beat. And then the Chiefs score, take the lead. And then I go for 2. What? I am outraged. It was 5 minutes left in the game. Why are you going for 2? Why? Take the extra point. And if they come back and score, get a field goal, you still have 2 minutes to, you know, score 7 or kick 3 and tie the game. What are you doing? Why are you going for 2? Why? Why? Bad decision. Josh McDaniels, bad decision. And y'all going for 2, close out the game. Didn't get the ball back, Chiefs win the game. Just unbelievable. Like, you just can't make this stuff up. You just can't. Really can't. Well, that's pretty much the recap of Week 5. My little rant. Because it's just, some of these teams, you just have to question. When you watch the game, and just question. And you got to look at certain things and just be like, why would you do that? What made you think about this in this situation? It's something else, man. It's just some of the things you see, you just won't believe it until you see it with your own eyes. But moving on, Week 6 starts tonight. We have the Washington Commanders and the Chicago Bears. Woo! No. Shouldn't be excited. This game is not going to be exciting. Yeah, if Carson Wentz against Justin Fields, Carson Wentz, you can't trust him. He's going to give you a turnover. You know, he's bound to give you a turnover. Just like Matthew Stafford is bound to give you a turnover as he fumbled twice, lost 2 fumbles, and threw a pick. But point is, you can't trust Carson. Can he give you a good game? Can he win you a game? Yes. But when he throws a ball, he's just real shaky with the ball. Justin Fields, Bears, they're just terrible. It's just two bad teams. We'll be surprised if it's low scoring. Who I think is going to win this game? Oh, man. I think I'm trusting Justin Fields a little bit more than Carson Wentz to win this game tonight. So I'm going to take Chicago to win tonight. But I'm not excited about these two games at all. It's Thursday night. You shouldn't be excited about this at all. But what we do look forward to is Sunday. What I do look forward to is the two games on Sunday. Prime time matchup of the week. We have the Chiefs and the Bills. Talking about 2 top 5 quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, going at it. It's going to be a great game. They matched up before. Last year, the Bills won the regular season. Chiefs won in the playoffs in overtime. 42-36. Heck of a game. So I expect this to be, you know, tight ball game. High scoring. With Mahomes, Josh Allen, both their offenses and their talent. It's going to be great to watch. Good to see. Who I think is going to win? I might have to pick Josh Allen to win this game. I just realized that Josh Allen currently, Josh Allen is the MVP. Mark my words. Josh Allen is the MVP right now. The Bills are going to come out the AFC, go to the Super Bowl, and are going to be the number one seed. Remember this. I'm saying this right now. I'm repeating it again. Josh Allen is going to be MVP of the league. The Bills are going to be in the Super Bowl, coming out the AFC, and they're going to have the number one seed. Remember this take. So, like I said, exciting game. Two entertaining quarterbacks, two of the top tier quarterbacks in the league going at it. I like the Bills in this matchup just because I feel like the Bills roster is better from top to bottom on both sides of the ball. So, and I think the game is in Buffalo, if I'm not mistaken. No, actually, it's in Arrowhead, but it doesn't really matter. But I like Josh Allen this game. And then the other game that I'm looking out for is the Sunday night football game. We have my Dallas Cowboys against the Eagles. Eagles are 5-0, Cowboys are 4-1. It's going to be entertaining to watch. I'm pretty sure Cooper Rush is going to start. I don't think Dak is going to play this game. But, you know, we have Cowboys defense, top tier defense against an Eagles team who is talented on both sides of the ball. Both sides of the ball from, you know, the receivers. They got a good run game. Their defense is pretty solid. So it's going to be a good game to watch. I think it's going to be a tight ball game. It's not going to be high scoring. Division games are usually tough. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how our defense match up with their offense, how our corners match up with their receivers, if our front four can get pressure like they've been getting all year. And, you know, Eagles O-line, some of their O-line is hurt. We're going to look out for that this week to see if they play. Well, we'll find out tomorrow when the injury report come out. But then we got to look at, you know, Dallas, if they can. They got to be able to post some points. Got to be able to post some drives and try to score against the Eagles defense. That defense is tough. So we got to see if Cooper Rush can, you know, make a few plays to put us in position to score. And, you know, it's gonna be a game to watch. Those are the two games I'm really focused on. All the other games Sunday, it don't really excite me. So, like I said, those are the two matchups to look out for. And the Chiefs and the Bills, Cowboys, Eagles, and we're definitely gonna talk about those games next week on the recap. Now that we're done with the NFL, as you guys know, the NBA season is here. Preseason has been going on. The regular season starts on Tuesday. I'm excited. It's the best time of the year. You have the NFL, NBA, college football. College basketball is going to start soon. I'm excited, you know. You know, the Warriors, they just coming up a championship. And, you know, as you guys all know, Draymond punched Jordan Poole, which I understand Draymond. It's going to be Draymond. Like, he's, you know, he's going to talk his mess. He's rowdy, you know. Talks trash, whatever. Keeps it real, whatever the point is. Whatever you want to call him, man. But I feel like him punching his teammate took it too far. Hopefully. It's kind of surprising the league didn't suspend it. I would have thought he would have got suspended for doing something like that. But they didn't suspend him. But hopefully I don't mess the Warriors up in their season. And, you know, we'll see how their season unfolds, if they can repeat, because they can repeat and come out the West. But we'll see how that goes. But, you know, my question to you guys is, who you guys think are going to make the playoffs in each conference? Who you think is going to, you know, come out each conference and go to the finals? I mean, if you look at each conference, you know, start with the East, you have Philly, you have the Nets, you have Bucks, Miami, Cleveland. Who else? This is somebody. The Hawks, they're going to be all right. Who I think is going to come out the East? I think the Knights do have a good chance. We still have KD, Kyrie. Like I said, we'll see. The Bucks, we'll see when Chris Middleton comes back. The Bucks are going to be forced to reckon with. Philly is going to be good this year. They you know, picked up PJ Tucker, 3-and-D guy, Montrezl Harrell, could back up and beat, compliment him well. You know, that's going to be interesting to see who's going to come out the East and win the finals. Or not win the finals, but go to the finals. The West, you have the Warriors, Denver, Grizzlies, Suns, Clippers are going to be looking pretty good this year. Lakers, But my question is, Clippers do look good and solid. But the question is, how many games is PG, Kawhi, and John Wall going to play? That plays a factor in the health. How many games are going to play? Lakers, I think, are going to be pretty solid. But the question is AD going to be healthy most of the year to get, you know, and come postseason, if they make the postseason, to make a run? I feel like if AD is healthy, the Lakers can definitely go far. So that's my question to y'all. Who's coming out each conference? What's the finals matchup? Who wins MVP of the league? And who you guys think is the best player in the league right now in the NBA? So, yes, that's the look out for that. All right, that caps the episode. Thanks, guys, for you tuning in. I'll definitely be back next week to recap the NFL and talk basketball, because next week NBA do start, so I will be looking out at the NBA games opening night. Thank you guys for your time. Have a blessed night, and I'm out.